One of the things I like about that the new TV we got up there is the crispness of it. I mean, if, those of you who were here, you know the old TV we took out of there. I mean, it was one of those ones where everything was just kind of fading into each other. And it's like, you know, I put my glasses on. I thought, I don't see that any better with my glasses. Well, it wasn't my eyeballs. But part of that is the communication and the crispness of it. And one of the things that I talked about last week is that God wants to talk to you. And we want to have that clear communication so that it's crisp and it's alive. And last week we had a little skit that Chris put, a little clip that Chris put up there. And it's a takeoff on the Verizon. And the guy's saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And the interesting part about the clip is he would say, can you hear me now? Good. And then you'd see him someplace else. He'd say, can you hear me now? Good. And it was a clue that not only was God hearing him, he's hearing God. Okay? Because he's saying, good, you can hear me. Okay? And so we talked about last week that God does want to talk to us and communicate with us. And so today I want to talk about how does God do that? Okay? How does God talk to us? Because, you know, I mean, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said, you know, when we talk to God, it's called prayer. But when God talks to us, it's called schizophrenia. Yeah. And so, we have to make sure, we don't misunderstand it. That's not it, okay? And Job 33:14 says, God speaks in different ways, but we don't always recognize his voice. And we need to realize that when God wants to talk to you, God's going to use whatever means is available to you. Because I called Conrad this morning, and I went straight to his voicemail. You know, I went, rang, went to his voicemail. But when I picked him up, he said, no, I didn't get a call. He looked at his phone. Nope, no record of it. So we didn't have the connection, okay, even though I was calling. And so want to make sure that we recognize God's voice in the different things that we do. Now, I started off with two scriptures, and you're going to say, what do they have to do with anything? Well, hopefully you'll figure it out in a minute, okay? Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, Jesus is talking, teaching people about prayer and so on, and he's comparing earthly fathers to our Father in heaven, okay? And in Matthew 7:11, he says, If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay? So he's saying, you know, you're evil, and you know how to give good gifts. How much better off is God than that? Okay? In Luke 11:13, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay? A little different there, isn't it? One's the Holy Spirit, the other one are good gifts. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but the first one's plural, good gifts. How many of you have seen some of the first Harry Potter movies and the kid gets all upset because he's only got 39 presents this year and he had 39 last year? You know, that's the way we tend to and to be. And so when you look at that, though, they're talking about the same thing. Because what it is when Jesus went to the cross and died for us and rose again, he said that I will give you the Holy Spirit to be with you always. And another scripture says, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Okay? So if we go back and we look at history in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody and move on them, and God would speak through that person and tell the people what it was. But the Holy Spirit didn't infill everybody and dwell in them. The Holy Spirit would come and would go. And when the people were brought out of Egypt into the promised land, and God tried to speak to them, they got afraid. And they said to Moses, I'll tell you what, you go talk to God, come back and tell us what he said. Okay? And so they didn't have that personal connection. Well, now as believers, we have that Holy Spirit living inside of us. So we have that good gift. And when we get in a situation when we need comfort, something happens in your life, and you need comfort, and you pray for comfort, what does God give you? The Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. When you need advice, God gives you the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor. When you need help, you have the Holy Spirit, which is the helper. Okay? So those are the good gifts God gives you through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about ways God talks to you, and all of these ways that God talks to you is by means of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But God talks in different ways, and sometimes we don't recognize those ways. And so I wanted to look at those. And the first one, God speaks through Scripture. Now, on the benches, I've told you this before, you've got the Bible sitting there. That's the thicker one. The thinner ones are just the New Testament. This is Scripture. And sometimes God says, well, people will say, well, why doesn't God just write it out for me? Already has. Okay? It's like, you know, this is the instruction manual for life. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. Okay? So this is our instruction manual. God's already written it out. He spoke to the prophets and told us the things to do and the stuff like that and how to walk. So God doesn't need to write it out for us again. We just need to pick it up. But we don't always understand this. And so that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. God speaks through the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3:16, everything in Scripture is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. So it's all in here. It's in here. Now, how many of you have had the experience where you sit down and you pick up the Bible and you start reading a verse, and you've read it maybe 100 times before, and all of a sudden this time you read it and you go, oh, I didn't notice that before. How many have done that? Yeah. You've seen it before, you've read it before, and all of a sudden this time you go, oh, didn't notice that before. And it's something that you need now in your life. And it's there. Or you sit down and you plop it open. One of those hunt and peck things. You know, you plop it open. Let's see what God says. Okay. Now, that can be dangerous. Because, you know, one time I picked it up and it says, Judas went out and hugged himself. Oh, well, that's not very inspirational. So I turned to another page and says, go thou and do likewise. Oh, okay. So, you know, but, you know, God will use this. And it says this, all of us in there is useful for us. In Psalms 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide me and a light to my path. So this is God's word. It's a direction. It's a guidance to our path. The Holy Spirit will prompt you in different things to read it, and you'll read it, and you'll go, wow, I didn't see that before. So you pick it up, and the other part of this is the more you read it, the clearer it starts getting all the time if you do it on a regular basis. And sometimes you'll get hung up on stuff, and next day or 2 days later, you'll pick it up, and then you find the answer and go, oh, yeah, okay, that's the answer to that. So God speaks through his word. Second, God speaks through teachers. Okay? So you go to a Sunday school class. Somebody's prepared the lesson, and they bring up stuff, and you go, oh. And how it's always amazing to me how often when I go to, like, conferences and stuff like that, and the people who are speaking seem like they're talking to me. And I go, did he know I was going to be here? You know? Because that's the way it is. I mean, it inspires teachers and so on. Ephesians 4:11-12. Christ gifted some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers so that his people would learn to serve and his body would be strong. So some of us are called to be teachers. Now, we go to college, We have teachers and so on. So the teachers are there so that we can learn to be strong and grow strong in that. Romans 12:6 says, God in his kindness gives us different gifts. If your gift is speaking God's word, make sure that you what you say agrees with the faith. So it's a big responsibility to be a teacher of God's word. Big responsibility. And you listen to the Holy Spirit. One of the really cute cartoons I saw a few years back was a teacher who was in a Sunday school class, and she had her Sunday school manual out. And the Holy Spirit's telling her something. She's going, that's not in the manual. Well, it's in God's manual. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:13. We do not speak the words taught by man, human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, as we explain spiritual truths to those who have the Spirit. So when people walk in there and you go to a class and the teacher's up there teaching, there'll be those moments, those aha moments, when somebody will speak to you. And you know what? I can tell you that if Mark has something on his mind, a lot of times somebody teaching or talking, it will come and they'll say something and they don't even realize that it's affecting Mark. But Mark goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like that scripture. You read it and all of a sudden it has a different saying to it. And sometimes that's the way it is. And this next one is on the next slide. It says, God speaks through your friends and your family. Through your friends and your family. And I will throw in another one here. God speaks through radio, television, computers. Yeah, 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the thing is, the Holy Spirit's going to move on the people around you. If my brain is in such a dilemma that I'm not thinking straight, the Holy Spirit's going to prompt Summer to do something that I'll understand. Because God's trying to talk to me, and I'm not listening. And so if I'm not listening, God will use friends, family, TV, radio, birthday cards, get well cards, all kinds of stuff like that. And it says, the goodly give wise advice to their friends, and the wicked lead them astray. So listen to people that are around you. And they will tell you something sometimes that you just won't hear on your own. Because God's trying to get your attention. And I know if you're like me, sometimes it's really hard. You have to knock really loud. Hey. To get my attention. Okay? The other thing is sometimes it's just plain old promptings from the Holy Spirit to you. To you. And the reason I say that's important, because, and I use Jay as an example because he's used to it. And he loves the attention. This is Jay, by the way. Should we have him stand up? Hi, no. he hates it when I do that. He just hates it. Okay? That's why I do it. But Jay, I like him as an example because one day Jay's in his truck. He's headed home. And the Spirit's telling him to go to Smith's. Not the one over here, it was the one down here, if I remember right. And it's like, why am I going to Smith's? I don't need anything. So he gets over to Smith's, he pulls in the parking lot, and it's like, okay, now what? And what happens? Gets a call. Mm-hmm. Somebody needed help. And if he'd have gone home, he'd have been way in the wrong place. But he went to Smith's parking lot. Now, was the Holy Spirit prompting Jay for his benefit? No, for somebody else's. And sometimes you're going to get promptings, you're going to get leadings, you're going to get things that happen in your life that tell you to go someplace else, and you won't know why. And sometimes it's a little bit more than Smith's parking lot. When I had my house over on Kelsey, I was remodeling. Upstairs, There was a bedroom. I was making it bigger. Tore the roof off of it. Tore the one wall out. Was expanding the floor out. I had a week off, and it's like, yes, I'm going to get this done. And the Spirit kept saying, you need to go to California. And it's like, I don't want to go to California. No, you need to go to California. So finally, I took my belt off, and I dropped it on the floor. My tool belt, you know, that manly thing. You can be replaced. I took it off and I packed the car and I thought, you know, I'll stop at Yosemite and camp out for the day. Well, I didn't. I drove straight through and I got over to my friend Denise's house because that's where I was prompted to go. And I got over there and I parked the car and whatever, rang the bell. Nobody's home. I have a key to her house, but I forgot it. And so I rang the bell. Nobody there. Okay, so up the street about a block and a half is Gelato's Ice Cream. So I go up and I buy a cup of my favorite and her favorite. I go back, I ring the bell. Nobody home. It's a nice cold, you know, California summer night. So I set the ice cream on the ledge. I walk down the street to the Alpha Beta and I buy food for dinner. I come back, ring the bell. She just got home from a trip. And she is depressed to the max. So I go in and I fix dinner. We have a chat. The next day we walk through the park to the ocean and talk. The next day we walk 9 miles to Sausalito and talk and have lunch. She's doing a lot better, and I get my car, and I come home. Amen. Now, does that happen all the time? No. But I challenge you to be ready if it does. Because if the Spirit tells you to go someplace, go.
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
Because it's not for your benefit, okay? In Romans 8, 6, yeah, sometimes it is for your benefit. I mean, because, you know, there'll be that time when Jay's in the parking lot for you or you're in the parking lot for Jay.
Mm-hmm. And the blessings that you receive.
Yeah, or you go shoplifting. Shopping. Yeah, you go shoplifting because you need something. Go shopping because you need something and the Spirit directs you to where it is. Okay? Yeah. Repent, okay? Okay, Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart and tells us that we are God's children. That's how we became believers in the first place, wasn't it? Through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can't convert anybody. You know what? And they, you know, if you're converted because of me, you're in deep doo-doo. You know, you got to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. Job 33:14-17. God speaks again and again in dreams, in visions of the night, as they lie on their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds and keep them from pride, from falling into some trap. So at different times, God speaks to us, guides us and directs us in what we're going to do. Now, caution I put on there. Always test impressions by the Bible. God never contradicts what he's already said.
Amen.
So if you're getting a prompting to go out and have an affair, guess what? It ain't the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's the spirit of lust. Okay? The other way God speaks is sometimes God speaks through pain. I hate that one. I really hate it, you know. But Hebrews 5:7-9 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Remember when Jesus was going to the garden? Three times he went off and prayed, God, if there's any way that you can do this by some other means than this, let it happen, but what? Not my will, but your will. Okay? Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Sometimes if God cannot get our attention in any other way, it's through a painful experience. And it sucks.
Yes, it does.
But we learn from it. Because Scripture says God uses everything for our benefit.
Amen.
Okay? And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And once, that's an interesting thing. And once made perfect. But Jesus was perfect. What does that mean? Jesus was human. He had the capability of falling. He had the capability of disobeying. And not until that moment when it was done and he gave up the Spirit was he made or clarified or certified perfect. Because after that moment, then no longer could he fall. He never did, but the possibility was there. And until that moment when he actually gave up the Spirit, that's the moment when it was like, yep, perfect forever. Only one that can do it. You and I don't. We blow it all the time. I do anyway. Okay? But sometimes we learn through painful things. And we don't always like what we learn. And we don't always learn. Okay? God also sometimes speaks through silence. Through silence. We want something. And we know in here that no. Been there, done that? And we say, God, and God's just quiet. Not always. I told you about the time when I was praying about God, and I was praying, and I said, God, do you exist? And God didn't talk in silence. God spoke to me at that time. And he said, don't you know? I was like, well, yeah. Haven't you always known? Yeah. So what's the question? Nothing, never mind. But you know what? I knew. There's been other times when I prayed about stuff, I already knew the answer. Did God need to tell me? No. God didn't need to tell me. I already knew. Did I need to pray about going into ministry? No. God already told me in 1972 during a snowstorm up in upstate New York. I cast it off like a dirty shirt. Yeah. I was like, you know, the Spirit said you're supposed to be a minister. And I said, you mean a bishop? We don't have ministers in this church. No, a minister. Get thee behind me, Satan. I ignored it for years. Years. 30 of them to be exact. But it didn't go away. I already knew the answer. I didn't need to pray and ask God, am I supposed to be a minister? God already told me 30 years before. Just waiting for me to get off my derriere and get doing something about it. Okay? In Job 34:29, it says, if God is silent, what's that to you? If he turns his face away, what can you do about it? But whether silent or hidden, he's there ruling. I can fret about it. I can get all bent out of shape. But God's the one in charge. Sometimes God's quiet and lets us just ponder stuff. Sometimes in this painful time, when we're there, and God just lets us sit there and think about it. Or God puts this in your hand. and you read something. And then he just lets you ponder about it and think about it. Because it has to get into here. It has to get into here. Because if it doesn't get into here, it doesn't do any good. You can intellectually know this upside down, inside out, and backwards. But until it's in here, it's just words. It's just talk. It's just another book. And sometimes God tells you and then goes quiet. When God called me to go to California, God didn't tell me why. Oh, I need to rush off to California because Denise is depressed and she's really down in the dumps and she's got suicidal thoughts. And it's like, just shut up and go to California. Why?
Because I said so.
Not even that. Just quiet, you know. It's like, okay. But it wouldn't go away. And sometimes God just goes silent. In that painful time, God will provide what you need.
Amen.
How many's been there?
Right.
Yeah. God provides what you need. And then a lot of times goes quiet and says, okay, are you getting it? In Psalms 50:14, it says, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you give me glory. Sounds like God's being kind of selfish, right? You give me glory. No. What that means is that I'm going to rescue you, but be smart enough to recognize who it is, that it's not you doing it. Because we want to take the credit for so much. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, in that time when I went off to see Denise, it's like, yo, that wanted to make so spiritual. No, I was kicking and screaming all the way. I didn't want to go.
We can't give God anything.
Yeah, we can't give God anything. You know, I go back to that one we read a little bit ago, where it says that it doesn't matter if he's, if God is silent, what's that to you? If he turns his face away, what can you do about it? Not a thing. Not a thing. God's going to cleanse the earth with fire. Think he's going to call and ask permission to burn your house? I don't think so. But that's my new coat. Look pretty good there, naked boy. Oh yeah, I've seen the mirror, I know. Yeah. He's there ruling. He's there ruling. I mean, you think about it. God created the world. Put Adam and Eve in the garden. Didn't give them a stitch to wear. And didn't care. Didn't care. We're the ones that get attached to all the stuff. Up until that point, until they knew they were naked, they didn't care. They weren't attached to all the junk.
Amen.
But God cares. So God's going to speak to you through friends, through scripture, through impressions, through radio, television, whatever, through word, through pain, through silence. All of it. Whenever you need it. Kind of last week, the scripture I used that said that God's going to take you down the path, your path. Because your path's different than mine. I'm a slow learner. That's why I had to drive to California so many times. Because I'm a slow learner. I need that 740-mile trip to shut up and listen. But I hope we get to the point where we don't have to do that. But we're human. Are we bullheaded?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we self-centered? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Can we get over it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Through the Holy Spirit. and listen to what God tells you. But it's going to take effort. And so again, you need to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, help me.
Amen.
Help me. I can't do this on my own, but we certainly try. But that's also why God gives us each other, because we're not meant to be alone.
Amen.
Even if we are. When Scott was in California for the 7 years, was I alone? Nope. I had all of you. Did I appreciate you all the time? Not always. Hey. Yeah? You don't appreciate me all the time. That's fine. That's okay. But we have each other. And we love each other. And we take care of each other, hopefully. And God will direct us. If you need help, hopefully God will speak to me. But one of the things I think is really, 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 really cool, people come in and they need prayer. You know what? They don't come to me. Really hacks me off. Do we need to do the Heimlich over here? Just coffee. Okay. No, does it hack me off? I mean, I'm the pastor, right? Big deal. That's right. It tickles me spitless that they don't come to me. You know why? Because that means the Holy Spirit's working here. And it's not about me.
And that's the way it was designed to be.
That's the way it's designed to be. Because it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about God and God's glory. Not ours. And if you know what? If you find people are waiting in prayer for you, you're in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit needs to work through everybody.
Amen.
Not just you. And that's what I'm looking for. The day when anybody who walks in that door grabs the first person in sight. You need special prayers, extended prayers and help? Come in at 10:15. We have a prayer group downstairs.
Amen.
That's what they get together for, prayer.
We have 3 people there this morning. We need more.
Yeah. Yeah? But like I said, it tickles me to death that they don't come to me. If they come to me, will I turn them away? No. But it's not about me. It's about God getting the credit. And that's what the last scripture said. It's for God's glory. And if people give you the glory, correct them and say, not me, baby.
Amen.
Okay? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you that you want to talk to us. That you want to have that relationship with us. And that, you know, Lord, it's awesome. You're out there running the whole universe. Everything that exists is in your control and your power. And yet, on this little teeny planet, in this little teeny town, compared to everything else, as microscopic as we are, you have time for each one of us. Personal time. Personal time to talk with us, share with us, be with us, listen to our heartaches and our woes, and comfort us. And Lord, then we turn around, we make it about us. And forget that it's about you and your greatness. Help us to not do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.